You know, it's an interesting two scriptures to be read on the Sunday of Moving Sunday, where the new pastor is in place, and both scriptures mention something about making sure they're paid. But I don't think that was the intent of the lectionary readers. As I was reading this and thinking about the mission of the 70 and being sent out, and he talked about few laborers for the harvest, I remembered my very first appointment at Belgrade and Tabernacle, and the parsonage was at Belgrade, and it was right across the street from the church, and Larry Riggs' farm was behind the church, and he had this big, big building that looked like a dorm. And at about springtime, suddenly I would notice on the clothesline, clothes and sheets and everything, because it was time for the migrant farmers to come in and work Larry's farm. And over the course of the summer, you know, the laundry would appear and disappear and appear and disappear, and I knew they were still there until one day, sometime in the fall, the clothesline was empty again. Now, I never saw, like you might see with a moving pastor, trucks of furniture and everything else show up at Larry Riggs' farm. The only evidence I had that someone had arrived to work and be the laborer in the field was laundry on a clothesline. And so I thought about what Jesus is speaking to us through this conversation with his 70 that he sends, is how much we tend to bring with us when we go and do the work. And yet he provides everything. Just like Larry Riggs provided everything for his workers, God provides everything that we need as we go out and are sent to proclaim this message of love. Paul tells us what our hearts and our minds need to be like. Jesus tells us what we need to carry. And like I said to the children, how many of us carry a purse or a bag or something wherever we go? And have you ever been, sit down, and then you get up to go someplace, like maybe to the restroom, and you, oh, maybe I need to take my bag. Maybe I need to, who's watching this, and who's watching that, and do I have control of this? And we're distracted. We're distracted by why we're there, by the things that we brought. So Jesus is reminding his disciples, don't bring distractions with you. I will provide wherever you go, whatever you're going to need to proclaim the message. And remember, if you listen carefully, he's sending them out ahead of him. He will follow. So we go forth, we proclaim the good news that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. And then when the time is right, Christ comes in through the Holy Spirit and they are saved. We are not the ones that save them. Christ is. We prepare the way. Well, this morning, as we were talking about it at 8:30, one of the gentlemen in the room says, why does he say not to talk to anyone along the way? That sounds rather rude. And I thought, well, that's another distraction, isn't it? Haven't you been on your way to do something and someone stops you and distracts you because they have something important for you to do or say, and the next thing you know, they're left and you're going, what was I going to do? What room was I supposed to go in? And the next thing you know, we're distracted from the mission that we had. Christ wants only one mission, for his disciples to go and proclaim the good news. But if you noticed that these wandering migrant disciples who have to proclaim the good news and prepare the harvest, they're also told a few things about where they arrive, aren't they? That when you arrive there, are you welcomed in? And if you're welcomed in, sit, eat whatever is served to you. Don't move from house to house because I didn't like what you served, so I'm going next door, see what's for dinner. You stay where you are. That's a little bit why pastors also put on weight, because we eat whatever is served us, no matter how many times you refill our plates. But Christ is saying, if they're going to be hospitable to you, you show hospitality back by receiving with humble, generous hearts that which they give you. But he also says something very harsh. He says, if they don't receive you, go in the middle of the square, stomp your feet so they can see the dust moving and say, we're done. We're going. And woe to you for having not received the gospel message of salvation. I did not see what Chorazan or Bethsaida or even Capernaum had done that they got that woe to you message from Jesus, but they got it. That they had at some point transgressed against or not listened to the message of salvation. But the other piece to that is the message of hospitality. They may have not been hospitable towns. Remember, these are Jewish communities. And though they might not have yet accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, they had the Jewish law of hospitality to welcome in the stranger. That if you arrived at the doorstep without anything, you were to be welcomed in. That was the law. And if they were transgressing that law, then they weren't even going to open their ears or hearts or minds to the message of salvation. But Jesus also shared, or Luke shares with us, the wonderful thing of what happens when the 70 return. I had forgotten, I don't know if you'd forgotten, that there were other than 12 disciples, that he sent those 70 out, that he sent them out to do this, to go to these places. They didn't wear those black suits and really skinny black ties, but they did go out and go from door to door and proclaim the message of salvation. Sorry, just happened. And they came back with this glorious news. In your name, even the demons submitted to us. They believed so much and acted and lived out the gospel message so well that that message produced great fruit. And Jesus reminds them, in case they get a little bit too big-headed, that, you know, that their statistics in tables 1, 2, and 3 said, you know, we have more than a zero for souls fixed. He reminds them, it's not you that did it. I did it. And be grateful for the gift that that creates in our relationship to one another. So I was wondering, what does it really tell us about who we are as brothers and sisters in Christ and disciples of Jesus Christ? It means that the church isn't the end point. The church is the place where we teach and train so that we go out the doors to proclaim the message of salvation. We go out the doors and do the work that God has intended for us so that other lives are transformed and changed. It also means that when we go out and we try something and it doesn't work, we dust our shoes off and say, well, that one didn't work. Let's move into this place of mission and ministry and see if God will bring the fruit. We don't bring the fruit. God brings the fruit. So the church is not the thing that is the focus of our attention. The church is the training ground. The church is the place in which and through which we learn the message, we grow in that message, we grow together as disciples to proclaim that message. God and Jesus Christ are calling us out into the world so that our focus, they don't want us to be distracted by the inside stuff. They want us to be focused on the outside, to go where God is sending us, whether it's in our workplace, whether it's in our school environment, whether it's in a soup kitchen, whether it's in a mission field, whether it's in the doctor's office, and we have the opportunity to witness to Jesus Christ. That where we do the work God calls us to do is outside of these doors. And that we have to have faith and trust in God, that God will bring forth the bounty. We don't need to worry if our pews will get filled, because God will take care of that. As long as we do not get distracted by the minute details of living as a body of Christ, our focus is to be on the transformation of the world and making disciples for Jesus Christ. And God will bring in the harvest. We are the migrant harvesters going out into the world to do the work. So I want to tell you a story about one of my favorite migrant harvesters. Her name is Amy Zent. I met Amy Zent in Okinawa, Japan. Amy was an elementary school principal who worked for Department of Defense schools. Amy had come to Okinawa from Korea, and I don't know where she went prior to Korea, but in Korea, she was part of a group called Tres Dias, and she worked in that particular retreat ministry to bring Koreans and Americans in Korea into a closer relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you walked into her principal's office, you would see evidence on her table, on her walls, that she was a woman of God. When she came to Okinawa, she wanted to do the same thing. So she gathered people from Korea, and she gathered Roman Catholics to help us to create a Tres Dias community, where we brought people together, young and old, to hear the message of salvation and watched lives transformed. Well, Amy finally retired and came back to the United States, and she was writing to me from Florida, where she and her husband, Stan, were still doing that sending forth, that migrant harvester work. They were going to Germany to help them start a Tres Dias community. And then she spent all her summers at Redburn Missionary Conference working in the mission field. I watched Amy Zent, through her love of God and her love for God's world, transform lives in elementary schools, transform lives in Tres Dias weekends, in Vida Nueva weekends, which were the weekends for the youth. And I watched her do that even after she retired. She continued to do what God placed on her heart to do. Not all of us are Amy Zent. We each were gifted with particular gifts and graces for the work that God is sending us out into the mission field. What God and Jesus Christ is asking us to do is to have that be our focus. Not to worry about the inside. He'll take care of that. He will produce the fruit and the means to which we can, that the building and all that it has is taken care of, as long as we go out into the world as migrant harvesters. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.